Hey, you, and welcome back to another segment here on Gems Podcast. I'm so grateful that you decided to listen again. With me today in the hot seat is Rodrigo Himobe. Him and I actually know each other outside of the podcast, and I'm super excited to interview him today, as well as share and hold overall space. But before we dive in, I'm going to tell you a little bit more about Rodrigo so you can connect the dots. So Rodrigo Himobe is a versatile, purpose-driven leader and board-ready family business advisor who embraces a collaborative process improvement approach to solving complex business problems. He is Venezuelan and a third-generation business owner whose expertise encompasses executive leadership, operations, project management, and strategic planning. His academic training as an engineer and experiential knowledge as a family business advisor differentiates him as a service provider. And his ability to move people as harmonic units towards a common goal augments his value. And I, for one, can attest to that. He also enterprises families gain by being a dedicated, emotional, present advisor with a moral compass who becomes deeply invested in their welfare. So without further ado, let's welcome the man behind it all, Rodrigo Himobe.
Thanks, Genesis. I really appreciate it. And wow, it's great to hear those words. And you know, it's wonderful to be here. Thanks for having me on your podcast. Been listening since the beginning. So I'm thrilled and humbled that you've asked me to be here with you.
My pleasure, and thank you so much. And you know, the audience is itching to know you in a fun and personal manner. So would you rather a rapid fire 10 question game or an icebreaker?
I'll let the dealer choose.
Okay. We'll go with rapid fire. Emphasis on rapid.
Perfect.
We're playing rapid fire with Rodrigo and Genesis. Do, 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 do. Question number one. With you being Venezuelan, what is your favorite Venezuelan dish?
Ooh, that's a hard one. Shredded meat. Shredded beef.
Question two. What was the hardest thing that you had to go through when you immigrated here?
You know, that's a great question. And I guess it was just being alone. That was tough, and being alone and not being surrounded by my friends and family. Although they were close, they were still a little bit far away.
Question three. If you had one piece of advice for your younger self, what would it be and why?
Take advantage of every opportunity that's presented to you.
Question four, do you have a mentor or a mentee? Well, do you have a mentor and are you a mentee?
I have many mentors. I have been privileged, honored to be mentored by various folks in various, various areas, and, you know, both technical and other areas that have really been, that shaped me to who I am today.
That. Question five, would you rather a dream car or a dream home, or heck, have both?
Home.
Question six, if you could trade places with anyone past or present for 24 to 72 hours, would you trade places or remain yourself?
I think I would remain myself.
Question seven, what is one mantra that you live by?
Common sense is the least common of all the senses.
Ooh, common sense is the least common senses. Is that right?
Yeah, common sense is the least common of all the senses.
Oh, okay. I like that one. I'm gonna have to borrow that one. Question eight, being an engineer, what's one cliche thing that you hate people saying about engineers?
That we are all square-minded, and that we're not flexible in what we do. And I think in many ways that I am a sign of that I've, you know, reshaped my career, in many ways.
Okay. I'm laughing because we're not going to go into that. Question 9. What was your least favorite job, if any?
You know, I enjoyed being a technical advisor or a technical assistant, or what was it, a graduate assistant. The one thing I didn't like about it was when I had to empty and fill water repositories and getting bitten by every single no-see-um in South Florida. That I didn't enjoy.
And question 10, it's the pass or play question, and here are the rules. If you pass, our roles are reversed, and you get to ask me a question. If you play, I ask one last question to wrap up rapid fire. So are we passing or playing?
I'll play through. I'll hear you through.
Okay. What is your favorite book or movie?
Movie has got to be Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Okay. And there you have it. You just heard Rodrigo complete rapid fire. I hope you learned a little bit more about him. Now we're going to dive into the work that he's doing. And he is so versatile, y'all. But with him, you know, being the third generation business owner, I want to talk about family and business, because a lot of you may have heard you shouldn't really go into business with your family, because what if, you know, it doesn't work out? Then do you have that salty relationship now? But I want to hear it from Rodrigo, who's also an expert in this area. So Rodrigo, when it comes to doing business with family, what is your thoughts on that? And why do you feel that way?
So I think the family, you know, that cognition that you shouldn't work with family is, in many ways, it can be true, but in many ways, it's a misconception. And part of the reason that I think it's a misconception is because people don't necessarily do the hard work, or most of the books that we read in business school, whatever it is, it's geared toward publicly traded companies that are that have a different dynamics, and families have a dynamic of their own. As one of my coworker likes to say, families press and know what buttons to press because they install them. They install those buttons, so they press them, and you know that's part of the thing and part of the deal with family dynamics. And that's one of the items that I enjoy working with, is figuring those dynamics out. Yeah, it's enjoyable. It's taxing at times, but you know, at the end of the day, is you work through some of those dynamics, you work through some of that cohesion. Cohesion is huge, and make sure that you communicate and that you have the candid communication with each with your family members, so that you can prosper together.
I like that. So whenever you come to family business advising, whether it's a small, mid-sized, or large company, what is the first thing that you look at whenever you meet with your client?
So one of the biggest things that I look at is, why are they coming to us, and at what stage of the what stage are they? Is it, you know, and that question even spreads even further, is within the stage, is it a first generation, second generation, third generation, whatever generation they're on, where are they on that? Where are they in their path toward that succession, toward holding that family enterprise together? When is the family business ready to continue together? Those are the items that we're looking for. You know, what does it look like? Walking in the life of Genesis, what does it look like? And, you know, is Genesis doing well with her siblings? And, you know, are they getting along well? And if not, why is Genesis the only one talking with us? Why is there a wall between Genesis and her siblings?
Okay. And let's dive in a little bit deeper there, because I know that the name of your firm is Generation 6. So I want to put some context behind that. Did you name it Generation 6 for a particular reason?
So there are multiple reasons. One of them being Generation 6. We like the name. We like the way it sounded. We also believe that, you know, it takes multiple generations and to get to a point in time in which families are dynastic, where families are functioning, their systems are pretty well calibrated. They continue, and here's the engineer talking again. They're just continuing through, and some of those growth have been worked through, have been experienced. Documents and structures can be built around those. They know how to talk with each other. So that's why Generation 6. It was a good name. It is a good name. It's a name that carries through and shows that our goal is to take you beyond the sixth generation. That's what we want to help families do, is take you beyond the sixth generation.
Okay, perfect. Because I was assuming, since you mentioned generation earlier, I wasn't sure if there were six generations working in business with you, like maybe six of you from six different generation lines. And I was like, no, that's so outfield. And you also mentioned generations because, you know, each generation has their own perspective and viewpoints of seeing things. So how can you bridge the gap and bring that together? Because one generation may very well have something valid to add, but they may not know how to effectively communicate with the next generation in order to reach the same end goal.
Right. So, and it gets even more complicated the further down the generations you go, because first generation, you know, mom and dad started the business, or mom or dad in some cases started the business. It goes into second generation. Let's assume for a moment that they have multiple children. They all grew up in the same household. Typically it's 2 years apart between one child and the other. You get to the third generation and you start spreading that age gap. You get to the fourth generation, and now you have cousins and, you know, third degree cousins and yada, 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 or fourth degree cousins. And the age gap is such that some are closer in age to the prior generation than they are to the youngest one in their own generation. So there's also an age gap. There are a lot of dynamics there that you need to start building through and you need to start working through. So at that point, you're not necessarily working, working with the generation, you're working across generations, and you're almost creating various groups of, should we say, almost like age-based groups. But also keeping in mind that the generation may have different structural ownership or power over the business, voting power, I mean.
Yeah, and the reason why I ask that is because if you look at corporations that have multiple generations within those corporations, but they're spread out down the line, you see how their dynamics may be different than a family business. But I wasn't really sure if it's due to processes, policies, and et cetera, because sometimes whenever you're in business for your family, you're like, oh yeah, that's my cousin or that's my sister. And sometimes you could forget that it's still a business and we need to function as a business, not really as a family. And we need to put aside certain things for the betterment of that business. And that's why I asked that question, because I think it is a valid point to bring that up. And, you know, it's very hard sometimes. And I've seen it from, you know, my family members who have business, who have been in business together, not, you know, things have gone right. And I've seen it from like the corporate standpoint, where coming from Fortune 500 company, you start to find out, oh, so-and-so is related, and it goes down and down.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, no, great point. Great point. So one of the things that I like to bring up with families is, are you a family first business or are you a business first family? And you can use business or you can say enterprise. And part of the reason is neither of them is better or worse than the other. It's a choice. Both have their pros, both have their cons, but it's a choice the family has to make. And when you're a business first family, it doesn't mean that you, the business is isolated, but the family is there to help the business prosper. A family first business, the family will be prospering from the business. So it's a different dynamic in it, but families have to make that choice. And then, you know, when you start having some of those, that rife across family members or between family members and how the ownership's going to be handled, that happens. And that is okay as long as you can contain that conflict. And that conflict is a healthy conflict. It's the moment that you start going into some level of fighting that it starts tearing apart the family and the family. And so one of the things that I like to work with is, what are your goals? What are those hopes and dreams that unite the family? So it sounds very cliche, but ultimately, you know, if we agree in what the outcome in the future is going to look like, or the future that we're going to work toward, if we agree on that, let's focus on that. We may take different paths to it, but let's focus on where we want to go, what unites us, and we will work on what we're differentiating on. And if that part is that we're differentiating on is very separate and it's a point of conflict, we'll work on that too. But let's focus on what unites us. Let's focus on what builds cohesion.
So it's almost like look at the end goal and reverse engineer it back so you could put the necessary things in play in order for you to get to that goal and you don't lose sight of what's important to all of y'all collectively.
Right, right.
And one thing I want to ask here is, whenever you're looking at the family business and their structure, how do you help them identify what each person's respective strengths are? Because one person may think, oh, I'm really good at finance. But in actuality, once you get to meet and have a conversation with that individual, you find out that they're better if they did, you know, maybe marketing or something else, because that's more so their strength.
Yeah. So that's a good question. A lot of the times we will focus on that at some point, but a lot of the time we're working with the family to make sure that we're building to that baseline. And one of the ways that we do it is there are different assessments that we can build through. And there are a number of them out there. Some are better for some families than others. And so we use those assessments to see where the strengths and weaknesses of some of the folks are. But it's not only what you're best at, but where do you want to be? And let's build those capabilities. Let's build sharpen that tool. And then if you're wonderful at marketing, but where your heart is accounting, then let's make sure that you get to it. Because once again, if that's where your heart is, that's where you're going to put a lot of the effort. You might be wonderful at marketing, but if you don't want to do marketing, you're really not going to put your best foot forward on that. So let's build that person up. Let's put that family member into the position where they're going to be successful at, and give that person the training and education that they want to succeed. We deal with that quite a bit from the standpoint that it's like, well, you know, cousin, you know, my cousin Mary, she is an excellent artist, but doesn't know anything about accounting, so we can't give her the financials. Well, has anybody taken the time to talk with Mary and show her how those are read, what she needs to look for? So it's baselining also family members.
Okay. And that definitely makes sense because sometimes they're talking at each other versus to each other, and a lot of things could get lost in translation, or sometimes they don't want to necessarily talk to that individual because they may not want to, enter in the realm of conflict because that individual may, feel some type of way because, let's be real, we're family members and we may not necessarily see it as a business strategic move. We may see it maybe as a personal attack and they may forget to separate the two. So I really like that you brought that point up. Another thought that came into my head, Rodrigo, is scalability. So sometimes family businesses start off as the mom and pop shop, but they want to grow and they want to play in the space with the big competitors and et cetera. So does your business help them look at scalability and how to build up and when it's necessary to build up? Like, for example, you're doing this in-house, but now you're growing and you have the customers, you have the base is there, but now it's time for you to outsource so you could take on more.
So, to a certain degree, we are not a, we're not the firm that's necessarily going to help you structure your executive team. We're working with the family. We're working with the ownership, if you will, with the decision makers. To a certain degree, we help them guide the way, but they need to be sure that they have defined what their success is. And once they define their what success looks like, then we help them go toward that success. Now, diversification typically is a good idea for family businesses and family enterprise, and that's why I keep flipping, because family enterprises typically, when you start growing to a level that you have multiple businesses and whatnot, diversification, going back to the point I was trying to make, is diversification is very important because businesses don't grow as fast as families do. So if you want to, if you are using your business to maintain your quality of life, you need to diversify. Or your family's going to eat or your family could, or you need to set some really big boundaries around how much money people take from the business if you're depending on those dividends. So to your question, and I hate to do this, it depends, but we're not the firm that you're going to want to call if you want to, should we buy this new machine? We can. There are other businesses that are more on the technical side, on the procedural side that are better geared toward that, because they're going to be working with the manager and the plant supervisor and those folks that know what's going on day in and day out.
And thank you for answering that. And I love the fact that you were so transparent there because you let the audience know we play in this swim lane, but when it comes to playing in this swim lane, we're not the firm for you because sometimes some advisors say, yeah, we could do it all. And then they work with you and then you're not able to help them on that end. And then I feel like that could also sever a relationship there, especially as well as you have built up that rapport with them, it could easily crumble. So I love the fact that you were so transparent there. And another thing I want to ask is like an audible here around family business advising, because I don't want the audience to get the wrong connotation of what exactly family business advising is, and what are the different compartments in it, because everyone may look at it differently. And I want you to speak to this is exactly what Generation Six could give you when it comes to family business advising.
Yes, thanks for that. Because most people, when I say family business advice, it's like, so you give financial advising? No, we don't give financial advice. So that's for financial advisors to give. We're not CPAs. We're not giving accounting advice or any CPA. That's what CPAs do. We're not attorneys, so let the attorneys do the legal side. We do work with each one of those folks, and we're not therapists either. So we do work with each one of those folks so that we can help the system. We are working with the system. We're working with the family as a whole. We're not working with the individual. We work with the individual to the extent that we need the information, but we're working for the system, for the family. So what do? We deal with the dynamics. We deal with the board of directors. We work with the structuring boards of directors, finding directors for those boards, you know, succession planning. Some of that can be, how do I transfer from the first generation to the second, to the third, to the fourth, so on and so forth. That can be, look, how do I successfully transfer my CEO role to my son or daughter? How do we transfer? How do we work through that dynamic? How do I work? Because, you know, my son is really involved in the family business, but my daughter doesn't want any part of this business, but I feel that she would add a lot of value to it. So how do we work through that? And at all times, we are those folks that help you hold that mirror to you. And, you know, to your point, we're very candid. We work with bankers, we work with attorneys, we work with CPAs. And when we work with them and with clients that we have in common, we're the folks that typically are holding that mirror to the client. And in some cases, it works out in long-term relationships. In some cases, it doesn't work out for long-term relationships for us. We love to be wanted. Let me rephrase that. I'd rather be wanted than to be needed. And our clients and many of our clients want us to be there alongside of them for long periods of time.
So a question here that stimulated when you were given the example of the son and daughter. So the son is acting as a CEO, the daughter doesn't really want any part in it. Can you take that daughter and make her maybe a silent player? So if the board needed to vote on something, she still has some type of buy-in, but she's not doing any transactional work, or she's not getting into the weeds of the business in case they do need a body count to, you know, make a vote consensus, or is that not possible?
So lots going on there in that comment. So one of the things that in those cases that you could do is, one, you want to educate your the family members to be not to be repetitive, but you want them to be educated owners. You want them to be good stewards of the family legacy, of the business legacy. You want them to be fully present in that. One of the roles that you could train and work with the daughter on is how to bring her on to be a good good director, a director that's going to hold to hold the business executives accountable for what they do, for the measures they've set, and to make sure that the values of the family carry through to the business and be a monitor for that. That's what the board is. The board is there to allow you a chance to monitor what's going on in the business. It's, you know, no sin, hands out.
Okay, perfect. And that was great clarification, because y'all, if I had that question, I'm sure you may have had it too. So I want to throw you another audible here, and this is an open one. Is there anything that I have not asked you about regarding this topic that you think would be valuable to the audience to learn?
You know, work on your family cohesion, work on your communication. Communication is paramount. It's frequent and it's deep, and you need to start at it. You know, it doesn't happen overnight. You can't just be calling my cousin Mike out of the blue every day, and all of a sudden, because cousin Mike's probably going to start calling, but it'll get there. You start calling once a week, then twice a week, and you'll get there. So work on communication, work on being candid, and work on that depth of communication.
Perfect, y'all. So you heard those three tips there. And remember, it's not going to happen overnight. It's something that you need to build upon and grow. And you also want to do it in a way that is authentic, that's not sleazy or slimy, in order for y'all to not only have a business rapport, but also have that professionalism and enjoy that family member, because sometimes we take those people in our lives for granted and we don't really appreciate what they do now until they're no longer there. And I want to say that's so important to just be mindful of that, especially when, whether you're in business with them or not in business, because you never know when an idea may spark and you need that individual to build a partnership with you in order to transform and do something innovative for the better good of the world we live in. So Rodrigo, I want you to tell the audience how they could connect with you. What is your call to action? And I want you to plug that website.
Yeah. So you can connect with me via email, phone. You can even connect through the website. Our website is generation6.com, and you can either type the number or write out the word 6.com, generation6.com. And hopefully Genesis, you'll spell out my email address in your notes and your podcast notes, because it's not the easiest, but it's rhimiob@generation6.com. That's my email address. And you can always reach me on my phone, 713-487-6376. Yeah, thanks. I appreciate it. That's all I was going to say.
And I can't believe I butchered your last name for the longest, and you were just now saying that. See, y'all, I mess up as a host too. Himyob, and I said Hemo earlier. So I love how he said it correctly. So yes, make sure you connect with Rodrigo if you have business needs and or anything in general. He is a wealth of knowledge, and I'm just so privileged. I've had the opportunity to work with him professionally and now, you know, personally. So until the next segment, make sure you like, comment, and subscribe. Trying to build those subscriptions up. And don't be afraid to ask for help when needed. Asking for help is not a sign of weakness. It's actually a sign of strength, because you realize that you can't do it all by yourself. And that's okay. We're not supermen. We're not super women. We are individuals who are trying to become better versions of ourselves on a daily basis. And my big ask is for brand sponsors, because it does take monetary resources to fuel the mission and movement of the show, which is to consistently bring content that's educational, inspirational, and motivational while weaving in diversity, equity, and inclusion. So until the next time, I hope you have an amazing day. And remember, you are your biggest asset. So never stop believing in yourself and never stop trying something new. Signing out, Miss Genesis Amaris Kemp and my wonderful guest, Rodrigo Himyob.
Thank you, Genesis. It's been a pleasure.
My pleasure.